I'm speaking this morning on gifted people. And I guess I'm looking at how we can help to be the answer to some of these problems in our own lives and in the lives of our community and in the world. So what we're going to do, I want to inspire you this morning, I suppose, that firstly, you've got gifts, and secondly, that you can use these gifts. My name is Jonathan. I think most of you know that that's my name. Yeah, it's still my name. My name means gift of God. It's not Joshua. Well, no, it's not Joshua. My name means gift of God. For each of us, our own names mean things, and they can be helpful to us at times in reminding us and encouraging us of things. For me, that's a reminder that I can be a gift to others. That's what I want to be this morning. But I also, in some ways, it's not unique to me. I mean, it is my name. I'm Jonathan. You're not called Jonathan. But we're each gifts of God. I just want to encourage us in that to start with. Let's read our opening passage. Jess is my hero on the words this morning. Nearly. When we look at gifts, we often look at some of the New Testament passages, and we will come to those. But I want to start with this Old Testament passage from Exodus. This is soon after God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel and to Moses. And then he spoke to them about the tabernacle, this place where God is going to dwell. The Spirit of God will dwell, being a symbol that God is amongst the community, that God is with the Israelites. And I don't know if I'm going to read all of this, but from verse 4, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering to the Lord. Bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze. Bring some yarn and linen, goat hair. Bring lots of things. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tents and its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts and bases, the ark with its poles." There's a lot of detail here. I'm going to skip to verse 20. You can see there's a lot of things to be made. "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple or scarlet yarn or fine linen or goat hair, ram skins dyed red or the other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet, yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings, all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do." And down a little further. "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahazimach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers.'" So we've got a number of gifts that this community are bringing, and they're not perhaps the typical gifts that we often read in the New Testament, as I say, of teaching, of prophecy. We'll come to some of those. Here, the skills you've got are embroidery, weaving, crafting, sewing. These are the gifts that the Israelite community had to use at this time. There's teaching in there as well. There's a few that are perhaps more familiar. But I wanted to bring this. This is an example. These are the gifts that the community brought to God to serve God and the people. What have we got here? Now, some of these gifts are less applicable to me. I'm not so good at crafting and design. Rachel loves crafting and design. She'll go and many of you join her this week in... What were you sewing this week? What were you crafting? Great, fantastic. That pretty much fits in with what's up here. That's not quite my skill set. I'm not quite so good at those kind of things. We've got the classic quote from Albert Einstein. Everybody is a genius. If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. If you judge me by my ability to engrave, embroider, weave, craft, or sew, then you and I will believe that I'm stupid. But we each have gifts that we can bring. And note what these gifts are being used for in this passage. This is a literal, they're making a literal habitation for God on earth. They're embroidering so that God can inhabit among the people. God can live among them. So to start with, I just want to encourage you to use your gifts. If it's sewing, sew. Craft, design, weave, engrave. Use your gifts and make a place for God to inhabit here on earth. All right, let's move on. Do you mind finding Romans 12, verse 4? Fantastic. This is Paul writing his book of Romans. He says, I'm going to go from verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There's another good to serve. I'm going to pause there for a moment. We have different gifts. You probably already know that. One example, let's suppose we're having community lunch, like today. And I knock my plate of, what are we eating today?
Stew.
I knock my plate of stew on the floor and it goes everywhere. I'm hoping this doesn't happen, this isn't supposed to be prophetic, but we'll see. Now, different people will react in different ways. There may be those with a giving gift who say, never mind, have some of mine. There may be those with a serving gift who say, never mind, let me go and get you some more. If you've got a teaching gift, you're saying, now look, Jonathan, what you need to do is put your plate here. Put your elbows at the side. Don't flail your arms too much. If you've got a prophetic gift, you're sitting there saying, I knew that was going to happen. If you've got encouragement, you say, go on, Jonathan, you can do it. You can not knock it on the floor again. If it's listening or empathy, you say, how did that make you feel? That happened to me last week. If you've got the gift of cleaning, tidiness, and mercy, you go and get a dustpan, you start cleaning it up. You get the idea. Everyone has something different to bring and to get involved, and you'll react in different ways and perhaps see how it might be you. Let's 1 Corinthians 12, please, Jess. Perfect. I want from verse 12, please. No, I want from verse 1. Going to read quite a big passage here, so this is quite a key one. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you are pagans, somehow or other, you are influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, But all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Who was praying for noses for me earlier? Thanks, Pete. Oh, yeah. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, their teachers, their miracles, and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance. There are different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Great. I like making movies. You've heard me say this before. You've made them movies with me quite often. Making movies, I think, is similar to this. And it's only by making movies that I've understood more about this passage. Because when we come to make a movie, I can do some of the filming. I can do some of the editing. I can't star in a movie. I was in a movie once. Rachel told me to be in a bit part. And, you know, I've not been in any more since. For good reason. I'm not an actor. Now, I'm blessed by having a number of people here who are actors. But if we were all actors, we wouldn't make the movie, because we need someone to film it as well. And what I found is that everybody brings something. If you want to be involved in making the movies, I always say yes, because the movie is better if you're involved. Now, you may know your gifts. Some of you are better, you'd rather be behind the camera. You don't want to be in front of the camera anyway. Emily's shaking her head at that. That's not what she's made for. She wants to be in front of the camera, and that's great. We've got to have people. If we're all filming, but there were no actors, we would have a problem with our movie. Others bring gifts of hair, making hair, and makeup. Making hair.
What?
We're very gifted. Very gifted. Miraculous hair creation. Hair styling, makeup. For others, people care about doing the costumes. And everyone brings something. Luke writes some fantastic scripts. There's so many different parts here. Rachel, I hope, doesn't mind me saying this. I sometimes struggle to connect with her brother. We're different personality types. I've never gotten closer to him than when we were making our movie, Double Dragon. We got involved, and he was fantastic at choreographing the fight scenes. Yeah, he was doing flips all over the place and throwing people left, right, and centre. And it was like, great, I don't get on with this guy, but he's fantastic for this role and this part, and I've got him back for Double Dragon 2. So, you know, it can build friendships, and people that I haven't appreciated properly before, through movies, I can see, look, they've got something amazing to bring here. This is what Paul's talking about in the church. He's saying if we're all doing our part in the church will be better. We've all got something to bring. We've all got a gift to bring. For me, it was the movies that helped me understand this passage better. But it's the same in church. We've all got something to bring. It may be embroidery, it may be weaving, it may be sewing, it may be teaching, it may be... Hopefully you know what some of your gifts are, and I want to challenge you to think about what they are and to bring them. And also, if you're thinking, I don't have any gifts, I want to come against that right now and say, you've got gifts. I guarantee you've got gifts. If you don't know what they are, talk to the person next to you, come and talk to me, we'll find your gifts. But everyone here has got gifts. You've got gifts to bring. Maybe you're good at playing with the children or putting the chairs out. The amazing thing about some of these gifts is, for some people these are chores, and for other people these are things they're passionate about, these are the things they like doing. Now, we're a small church, sometimes we have to fill in the blanks, and there aren't, you know, maybe we don't have anybody in the church who loves doing the PA. But maybe we do. And if that's you, you know, come and say, because you can help get involved. But I've lived long enough to know that there are people who love doing everything that needs to be done. And I have found people who do like doing the PA. There are literally people who enjoy doing every different activity are out there and have got gifts. And you've got gifts. Right. I want to bring this home by looking at us as a church. By looking at who we are, where we're at, and are we all using our gifts? I know it's part of the vision that we're mulling over at the moment. Who are we? Where do we want to be? And gifts is part of this series of that, looking at what we can bring to help shape that. I want to look at a bit of a prophecy that we had from Sharon Stone. That's not the actress. I do like movies, but it's not Sharon Stone, the actress. A lady called Sharon Stone gave us a prophecy in January 2016, but I'd like to read some now. Prophecy is a tricky thing, and I should probably say a few things about it. With prophecy, we have to weigh it up and say, does this apply? Which bits apply? Is God really speaking in this? And sometimes it's right for different seasons to encourage us. So I'm just going to share some of what was here, and it may be over your head. Some of it is over our head. And if you've got questions about this, please come and chat to me or Pete after. I don't want to cause any trouble. Pete's like, be careful how you do this bit. So that's fair enough. So this was Sharon Stone prophesying in January 2016. So she's prophesying over Vicky, but it's for the church. So reading her words. What do we say? The Green Church. What's that called? Engerfield Green. Okay. If you're here from that church, can you just stand to your feet? Amen. Now, I don't recognise who's this. Vicky. Vicky is in leadership there, correct? Okay. See, I think that she didn't know who she was because she's not here now. You know, Vicky's gone. So she's prophesying over some more leadership. And this is for a time when perhaps Vicky wasn't here. So this is just my interpretation. We can discuss that more. Okay, stretch out your hands in their direction. The Bible says stretch forth that right hand of blessing. We want to bless that all you're doing. People change their hands from left to right when I said that. Father, I just thank you for this precious assembly right now, for this expression of kingdom, Father, in that area. And this is what the Spirit of God would say to you. The Lord says, for a season, says the Lord, I've drawn together a hurt people, says the Lord. I've drawn together a desperate people, and the Spirit of the Lord says that it's felt like a season of just putting the salve of restoration upon the many. But the Spirit of the Lord says that I've suddenly brought forth a transformation. And now, says the Lord, he says there is a sound. He says a passion. There is a fresh sound. He says of marching feet. And the word of God says the bride is like the sound of two advancing armies. And the Spirit of the Lord says there's a militancy I'm going to release instead of a hospital spirit that was there. And the Spirit of God says that even as we transition in this area, the Lord says my people are going to know what it is to put on their battle gear. My people are going to know what it is to take the battle to the enemy and not simply wait for the enemy to bring the battle to them. But the Lord says also there's been a battle for a continuous address, and I felt like the Spirit of God is speaking into that area, and the Lord is saying, even now, he says, my declaration over you is the gifts and callings make room for you. So, Father, we call forth a permanent address. We call forth, Father, a place, Father, where they can grow, and even people in the community might be able to know that they're there. Towards an end. For the Lord says you'll be able to advance even from this point, he says, because he says of that standard being raised and the root put in the ground. For the Lord says there's also a working together with a particular local school. And I felt like the Spirit of God says that you're going to work together, and it's almost going to be like a doctor school, a doctor student, adopt even different problems that are going on there. And the Spirit of God says, as you do, I'll give you a voice in the community that you have not had. And the Lord says, I will cause for even to be able to affect the young. Father, we bless them right now in the name of Jesus. All right, there's a lot there. You may like that, you may not. For me, I felt there's aspects of it that has resonated with us, perhaps particularly over the past year. I guess I didn't feel, perhaps, that we particularly had a hospital spirit over us when this was prophesied, but perhaps we did over the last year, with Vicky leaving and a number of people leaving. We've all faced battles, perhaps with health, with church, with work, with family. Hope literally died for us last year, if I'm allowed to say that without being insensitive. You know, these are some of the battles that we've been through. And the Lord says for a season, I've drawn together a hurt people, a desperate people. It felt like a scene just put in the salve of restoration. But the Spirit of the Lord says that I suddenly brought forth a transformation. And now, says the Lord, a sound of passion, a fresh sound of marching feet. And there's a militancy I'm going to release because of the hospital spirit that was there. Has anyone seen the movie Patch Adams? It's 20 years old now, Robin Williams movie. I know not too many perhaps have seen it. No, a lot of shaking heads. That's fair enough. It's Robin Williams being his typical Robin Williams self, so it's quite funny, he's over the top. He's training to become a doctor and facing a number of battles and prejudices to get there. But in the end, I'm going to ruin the movie for you, but...
Spoilers.
In the end, he starts a hospital, and he starts a hospital that's different to all the other hospitals. He says, when he goes up on trial at the end, and they say, isn't it true, you've got unlicensed doctors working there? And he says, everybody in that hospital is a patient, and everyone is a doctor. And this is the attitude he takes in this hospital. And I think it's what we should be doing as a church. And that's what I believe every church should be doing. But for us, we may be hurting and in pain and facing these battles, and this is the place to come. This is a church where we welcome people who are in pain. But it's also a church where we can come as doctors to help one another, and we can come to care for one another. And I guess I want to challenge us. So in Patch Adams, they had people come in with a number of problems, but he said, when everyone comes there, we give them one person to care for. You know, whatever they're suffering with, they come in the doors and we say, I want you to look after this person, at least to an extent. And so I guess I want to challenge us to be doing the same thing. Who are we coming to encourage on a Sunday? Can we bring a kind word, even if just to one person? We may be feeling, I need that kind word. You know, I'm in pain, I want prayer, I want help. But just to encourage us each to come and to bring something to someone else as well. And to look around and say, who are we caring for here? You know, which person can I come and help this morning? Say a word of encouragement before you leave this morning, perhaps. Come every week looking to encourage someone, to say a kind word, to show that we care about each other here too, if only one person. So I guess I'm saying we're choosing to be a warrior, not to just be a hospital spirit, not just to be a patient, someone who's hurting, but to come and fight for someone else, to encourage them, to care for someone, to care passionately about one another. I guess I'm saying it's a time to come and use our gifts and to make a difference to one another and in the community. Who's with me? Yeah, if you